Take your Bibles to Acts chapter 13, if you would. And I'd like to say that we're continuing our study in the book of Acts, but I'm kind of using this as a pretext, what I call as a jumping off point. And we'll read the first two verses of Acts chapter, first three verses of Acts chapter 13, but it's going to be more of a topical study this morning, and we will jump back next week, Lord willing, into working our way through the chapter. Acts chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I want you to notice in verse 2 what they were doing as they were looking for direction from the Lord. They fasted. And in verse 3, before the preparation of sending them out, before they were going to go into ministry, they fasted. I would say that this morning I want to talk about the forgotten discipline of fasting. It's not much talked about in our day, in our culture. But I want to ask you this. When was the last time you were really hungry? Some of you are thinking, in about 30 minutes. But I'm not talking about just ready to eat lunch. I'm talking about really very, very genuinely hungry. And I'll tell you this. In our modern world, with the convenience that we have, the abundance that we have, I would suggest not very often. Yet throughout Scripture, we see that people voluntarily choose to go without food, choosing hunger rather than satisfying their need to eat. Why would anyone choose to go without food? What spiritual purpose could hunger possibly serve? This morning, I want to talk about the practice of fasting, a spiritual discipline, as I said just a moment ago, that has largely fallen off the radar screen of modern Christianity. The first thing I want you to see this morning is the principle of biblical fasting. What biblical fasting is, what it is not. So what is it? Now, I used to believe, and I even used to preach, that abstaining from anything for a set period of time was a biblical fast. Now, it is a fast, but it's not a biblical fast. You say, well, I'm going to give up social media. I'm going to have a Facebook fast. Or maybe it's video games. Or whatever it may be. I'm going to not read the news. I'm going to have a news fast. Now, all those things are beneficial, okay? And I think they'll enhance your life. But they're not the same as a biblical fast. I don't find anywhere in the Bible that somebody just separated themselves as a fast and ate and did everything else that they normally did, but they just sectioned one corner of their life off, and that was the fast that God called for. Now, again, I'm not against giving those things up, and I think it will enhance your life, but it is not a biblical fast. A biblical fast is intentionally rejecting or avoiding food for a specific amount of time or a certain amount of time for spiritual purposes. Okay? Now that second half is just as important as the first half. Some people abstain from a lot of different things. I used to abstain from exercise. But that's not a biblical fast. There's a difference between giving up something that is not needed to sustain life and giving up something that you have to have to continue living. There's a difference there. So at its core, let me give you the definition again. Fasting is the voluntary abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. It's an intentional act of self-denial. Now listen, not for physical benefits, If you want to fast for some physical reason, I'm not against that, okay? I don't think the Bible is against that, but don't call it a biblical fast, because the purpose and the meaning of a biblical fast is really about devotion to God. Don't ever consider a biblical fast as a mere health regimen. Some people take a fast as a hunger strike to manipulate God into granting their petitions. That's not what it is either. It's an act of humility, drawing us closer to God and aligning our hearts with His will. Okay? And so, the principle of fasting is avoiding food for spiritual purpose. What did Jesus have to say about fasts? Well, the first fast mentioned in the Bible is when in the New Testament, is when He fasts for 40 days. But do you know the first teaching on fasting? It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. I'd like you to see this with your eyes. And so if you'll turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, the Lord gives clear instruction concerning the practice of fasting. Moreover, if ye fast... No, wait a second. Let me adjust my glasses there for a second. What's it say? Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth it in secret shall reward thee openly. Did you notice that? It's not an if. Well, I worked for a good little while on the grammar of that, because there's a big difference between when and if. And there is a subjunctive, I'll not bore you all with it, but it's not a if you fast, it's when you fast, if you do these things. Okay? Now, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'm going to say the expectation that Jesus had to the believers that were listening to Him at that moment is that they would fast. There would be a time where they rejected food for a spiritual purpose to be closer to God. But it's interesting to me that the same time that He's given the expectation of fasting, He gives a warning. He said, listen, this is not for show. This is not so you can tell people, I'm on a fast. I'm starving to death, but it's for God's glory, so it's okay, okay? It's not about bragging on yourself. God says, you keep it secret. You keep it between Him and you. Now, listen, if you're married, your spouse is going to have to know, your kids are going to know, and I don't think it's wrong to talk to a trusted friend to say, would you pray for me? I'm fasting, and I'm praying, and I'm looking for God to do something in this area, and I'm looking for God to move. That's not being showy from my perspective. It is simply looking for some support and asking God to do something in your life. But the truth of it is, biblical fasting is a private matter between the individual and God. It's not a performance to be seen by others. Let me give you just quickly two key components of biblical fasting. It's not very hard. Number one, physical denial of food. It's not rocket science. We've already talked about how it's abstaining from food. You say, how long is a biblical fast? That's between you and the Lord. The length and the nature of the fast is going to vary, but the purpose remains the same: setting aside physical nourishment to seek spiritual sustenance. In Luke 4:2, we see that Jesus fasted 40 days. I'm not sure that He's called everybody to a 40-day fast. But it does show us this. Jesus is our perfect example. He did fast. That's the point. Not the amount of time, but the fact that he engaged in fasting. Number two, purposeful devotion to God. Fasting is always connected with seeking the Lord, whether in repentance in Joel chapter 2, verse 12, whether it's intercession in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, in guidance in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, or for, I don't want to say ministry because it's not always about vocational ministry, but accomplishing God's will when God calls you to something, whether you're a vocational minister or in ministry, or whether you are working a secular job, there are times that God calls you to something, and I think that is what Acts chapter 13, verse 3 is talking about, is that preparation to accomplish God's specific will for your life. Nearly every time I find somebody in the Bible that is fasting, they're praying. They're buckled together. You can't divorce the two. And so when you're separating yourself from food, when you are rejecting that food, then you are turning to prayer. Now, I have to be honest, when I was a younger Christian, and we didn't have so many kids, if I were to fast, I would use those meal times to pray. And I think that's a great opportunity to instead of eating, you're praying. But the more kids we have, it's easier then to find different times in the day where I'm not neglecting my entire family during this time, okay? And so it doesn't have to be during your mealtime, but I think that's a great opportunity as a great reminder. So we've seen the principle of biblical fasting, what it is, what it isn't. Let's talk about the purpose of biblical fasting. What is its purpose? I hope for you that fasting is never just simply an empty religious ritual. It's a spiritual discipline that God has given to us. That it's another tool that God has given to us, designed to bring us closer to Him. Listen, when you fast, you should walk away having a deeper communion with God because of it. Seeking His will, preparing your heart to hear what God has for you. So often we think, well, I really need this prayer request answered, and so I'm going to fast in order for God to... Listen, what fasting does, I don't believe it changes God, although your prayers, certainly God works off of your prayers, but fasting gives you focus. You understand? In one sense, you're praying more. And so God can work off of that. But secondly, it raises the antenna on your heart to God's frequency so you can hear what He wants you to do through this, not just through the fast, but in that situation. We looked at verse 3 of Acts chapter 13. The believers were gathered. They were seeking God's will. Verses 2 and 3, they were seeking God's will concerning the ministry. The Holy Ghost had spoken, they listened, they obeyed, and then they fasted. I don't know if it was the same fast or if they fasted again when they were about to send them out, to send Barnabas and Saul for the work He had called them to. Before they did that, they fasted and they prayed. I would say again, I don't know the time frame. Why did they pray before they sent him out? I think sometimes we think fasting is just about finding God's will. They had God's will. These two men are going out. But they were sending laborers into a world hostile to the gospel. They needed divine wisdom and strength and the empowerment from the Holy Spirit of God. And so they said, we're going to set this time aside. We're going to commune with God. We're asking for His power, and then we're going to send them out for ministry. You know, One of the things it does is it humbles themselves before. One of the things it did was it humbled themselves before God. It ensured that their actions were aligned with His will rather than their own human understanding. Sometimes we go to God, even when we're praying, and we say, Lord, this is my list of pros and cons. These are the reasons why I should do this, and these are the reasons I shouldn't. And sometimes, now listen, God wants us, He's given us human brains, He's given us logic. I'm not against list of pros and cons, but when you bring that before the Lord, and He says, I know what the pros are, but I know what the pros are further down the road, and I want you to not do this, or I want you to do this, even though it doesn't seem to make sense in the moment, I think when you're fasting, you can hear that voice just a little clearer. There have been several times in my life where we faced major life decisions, and God has led me into a fast and has given guidance. And I just say, as a personal testimony, there's something different about praying and praying while you're fasting. I said this already, but I just want to remind you, fasting does not manipulate God. He cannot be manipulated. But it is a time to draw near to Him in prayer and in dependence upon Him. See, every hunger pang that you feel is a reminder to cry out to God. It's a reminder of your need, not just for food, but for Him. But if we're full all the time, we can quickly forget that we need Him for our daily bread. True fasting, the purpose of it, is to truly deepen our relationship with God. Free from sinful strongholds, and I hope increase the spiritual sensitivity to His leading. But it's not only seeking God's direction, it's seeking God's power and intervention. Throughout Scripture, fasting is connected with seeking God's intervention in difficult circumstances. I think about Daniel 9:3, I mentioned it earlier, but it says, "And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." Daniel wasn't fasting for personal gain, but he was deeply burdened for his people. He wanted God to do something for them. He recognized the desperate need that they had for God's mercy and for His deliverance. It was simply an act of humility and devotion, demonstrating dependence upon the Lord rather than human strength. You see the same thing in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast through Judah when he was facing this vast enemy. And Jehoshaphat feared, it says, and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. You know, in our country, there's been many times that a president has set aside a day for a day of fasting and prayer. I don't know if they still do that. I've not heard about it. They may. But there's something about a nation that's willing to deny themselves, deprive themselves of physical sustenance so they can commune with God. Jehoshaphat realized that rather than rushing into battle with his own strategy, with his own devices, he led God's people to seek God through fasting and prayer. What was the result? God provided a miraculous victory without them even having to fight. And so fasting is oftentimes found in God's word, seeking God's power in those times of crisis. Have you ever felt like you're faced with overwhelming opposition, personal trials, spiritual battles? Now, I want you to know, fasting isn't the answer it's not the quick fix to everything. I'm just going to give up food. But so often, in my own life, when trials come, I am so focused on that trial. And I'm begging God and I'm talking to God, but I'm thinking about that. And my whole focus, kind of like Peter walking on the water. He's walking right until the wave comes and he gets distracted. And in the midst of all these things that are going on, and whether it's bills that just keep piling up, or something going on at work, or there's an interpersonal conflict in the home between the husband and the wife or the kids, and there's just so much distraction, when you stop and take a step back and say, Lord, I'm just pushing this away because I want to pull you closer. The truth of the matter is, what does he say? As you draw nigh to God, he's promised to draw nigh to you. As I look back, I would not stand in line to go through any of those trials again. But I would not pass up those times of sweet fellowship that I had with the Lord either. Let me give you one last idea of the purpose. I believe one of the purposes of fasting is to express a wholehearted devotion to God. Fasting is an expression of deep, undivided devotion to God. In Joel 2:12, the Lord calls his people to genuine repentance, and he said this, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning." Here, fasting is not merely about abstaining from food. That was part of it, but it was a reflection of the heart that is fully surrendered or fully turned to God. It signifies this earnest desire to seek God above all else. You know what comes along with that? When you're communing with God like that, it seems that sin seems to start fading away as well. Now, I'm not saying if you fast, you'll reach sinless perfection. But it has a way of putting you in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It helps you to align your life with His righteousness. Same thing is true with us today. Fasting is not about just going through the motions. It's about genuinely desiring more of God. When we fast with the right heart, we set aside distractions, we humble ourselves, and express to the Lord that He is our highest priority. And I think you'll be blessed should you try that. I want to spend just a few quick minutes talking about, let me give you one last thought before we jump to that. Preparing for spiritual work. I mentioned this earlier. Before Jesus began his earthly ministry, he spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness. It was a time of preparation for the intense spiritual battles that he was going to face all through the 3 years of ministry that he had. He was going to be tempted directly by Satan. And it was during this time that he was able to have... Now, he was God. I understand this. But I don't think the fasting was just an add-on. It was an example. And he had victory. Let me just put it this way. If our Lord, the Son of God, saw the necessity of fasting before beginning his ministry, God's will for his life, God the Father, how much more do we need to have that sensitivity to spend time fasting? Could be embarking on a new area of service. Maybe you're facing spiritual warfare. I think fasting helps to equip us for the work that God has for us. It deepens our reliance on the Lord, and then it sharpens our focus on His calling. So biblical fasting is not merely just giving up lunch. It's about drawing closer to God, expressing wholehearted devotion to Him. It's a means by which we humble ourselves before the Lord. I've said this many times, but I've always heard through preaching you should mention something a few times because repetition brings learning, and learning comes from repetition, right? It aligns your heart with God's will. I want to remind you what he said in 6:18 of the book of Matthew. thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. We've looked at the principles of biblical fasting, the purpose of biblical fasting. I want to take just a minute. We might even get done early enough for you to go to lunch early, okay? The practical guidelines for fasting. What are some practical guidelines? I want to start by saying this. Not everyone should fast. I want to say that very clearly. Not everyone can physically fast. If you are diabetic or hypoglycemic, that's not a good idea. Okay? We had a friend in West Virginia. He's one of the deacons there. He's with the Lord now, but he had such bad diabetes, he couldn't go from the time he went to bed to the time he got up without getting up at some point in the night and having to take some insulin. And so there are just some people, their body does not allow them to be able to go without food. And so if you have one of those, it's not a good idea to put your body at risk, okay? I don't think God's calling you to put your health at risk. Secondly, if you are on medication, it is not a good idea to try to fast while you're taking that medication or just stop taking the medication. That's not healthy either, okay? And so we want to be wise about it. And while it's a tool that God has given to us, I don't think we throw caution to the wind for our own personal safety. I don't think that's what God's calling us to here. If you are... I wrote in my notes here, if you stop taking your medication or you have some of these other problems, fasting is meant to draw you closer to God, but we're not ready to usher you into heaven, okay? Don't put yourself at risk. If you are pregnant or nursing, you should not attempt to fast. We want the health of you and the baby. And if you do not like to be hungry, that is not a valid reason, okay? So with that in mind, let me give you some practical guidelines for those that maybe have never fasted or have not tried it in a long time. Start small. You don't have to take a 40-day fast as your first opportunity to try to, draw closer to God. Try skipping a meal and then spend that time in communion with the Lord and see how that increases your focus on what God has for you and your communion with Him. Even one meal is going to dive deeper maybe than your prayer life has given you in a long time. Work up to longer fasts and maybe a day, maybe a couple of days. And really, most of us have enough reserves that's not going to kill us. I think you know what I'm talking about, okay? If you go too long, there are some things that I would recommend doing. I'm not going to take time, but you have to have your electrolytes and you have to have some things that are going to keep you in balance even if you don't have diabetes or something. And you can do research on that. If you're praying about that or thinking about it, I don't even think it's wrong to talk to a doctor. They'll say, we don't think this is a good idea. And you just have to say, oh, I do, so tell me what do I have to do, okay? But start small and work your way up. Secondly, have a spiritual purpose. Almost every time the Lord has led me into a fast, it's because of something that He has laid on my heart specifically, a burden I just couldn't get out from under, and my heart was breaking, or I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what the next step was, so sometimes it's direction, sometimes it's crisis, sometimes it's just looking for God's will, and so... have a specific spiritual purpose. And as you're praying, it's amazing to me, when God answers that, oftentimes that's the end of your fast then. And you don't have to keep going. He's answered. So you don't have to say, well, I'm going to do this for a day or I'm going to do this for 2 days. If God answers you by lunch, I say, you know what? If you feel compelled to, that's fine. But I think that when God gives you the answer, you don't have to continue going forward. As a matter of fact, when God answers, I've noticed this, your mind starts going other places. You start thinking about other things. Sometimes you're thinking, boy, I hope I lose a couple of pounds from this. All right? When that becomes the motivation, I say that jokingly, but when that becomes the motivation or something else becomes the motivation, you might as well stop the fast. make sure that you have a specific spiritual purpose. Don't fast aimlessly. And as you pray specifically, God's going to answer specifically. Stay focused on God. Yeah, don't start thinking about what you're going to eat when you're done with your fast. I'm going to have this, I'm going back to that. Now, the truth is, we will fast for 12 hours if we're going to have a medical procedure. But we won't fast for a meal to draw closer to God. I want to challenge each one of you this morning to consider incorporating fasting into your spiritual life. Now, let me be clear. Other than Jesus saying when you fast and there's an expectation, I do not see any command to fast in the New Testament for the New Testament believer. But let me be clear about this. It's a valid and proven means of drawing closer to God. Jesus did say, when ye fast, there was an expectation. When's the last time that you missed a meal or a day's meal or 3 days or whatever it might be that you said, God, I need you more than I need physical food? Maybe you start this week. Set one meal aside. Spend it in prayer, communion with God, and see what it does for your walk with Him. Would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? I call it the forgotten discipline of fasting, but the truth of the matter is it's a neglected discipline of fasting. Now, if you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know fasting is not going to make your relationship with God right. You need the Lord Jesus in order to have a right relationship with God. That's the first step. Only then can you have the right communion with God. And if you're here today and you've never done that, we'd love to show you from God's Word how you can know that you have a right relationship with God through Jesus.